Night.
Tomorrow morning at 7:10, it's News in the News with the great Gordo on the Dunham and Miller Show. Mornings on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
This Thursday is going to be Girls Night Out, and it'll be at Duke's out in Addison, which is located at Beltline and Midway. And we'll get it started at 3 o'clock with the presentation out there, and everybody else will follow, and it'll be a huge night at Girls Night Out at Duke's this Thursday. Well, the movie that's all the rage right now across this great land of ours is Fahrenheit 9/11, the new Michael Moore movie. And everybody on the crew has now seen this. And we want to spend a little bit of time discussing it. And joining us is the guy that we always turn to participate in such discussions, because he always brings a little bit of an NPR edge to things. He is big, he is bald, he is goateed, he is bespectacled. He's a handsome man. He is Robert Wolanski of the Dallas Observer. Greetings.
Greetings.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for coming down here for this today.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Well, I guess everybody is just astounded at what this thing has done box office-wise in a very short period of time, or are we?
Yeah, I mean, Robert, what do you think about that? I mean, the number one movie of the week.
Playing on only a third of the theaters that the second movie's playing on.
Exactly. I mean, did that exceed what you thought it would do?
Absolutely. I mean, no documentary's ever done anything like this. But it's already made, in 3 days, it made more than Bowling for Columbine made in its entire run.
I bet you this next week, when the entire, because, you know, the show I went to last night at 7:30 was sold out. Danny went a couple hours later. Was that sold out?
I went to the 8:30 and it was packed.
I know,
it was sold out.
I know no one who's gone to a screening that hasn't been sold out.
Yeah, I bet you this week it makes 30-some-odd million dollars.
Robert, I went Sunday night at 10:10 and it was sold out. And I had to buy tickets ahead of time.
Yeah.
I bought tickets ahead of time, got there 40 minutes before showtime, and I stood in a line behind 50 people.
Yep.
Yeah, I had to sit in the last row last night. I mean, no big deal.
I went Sunday afternoon. I was the only one in the theater.
That's because everybody hates you.
It's because you did Trailer Evaluating Man and you cleared the theater out.
With your farts.
Wait, what's Trailer Evaluating Man?
Oh God.
That's where a trailer comes on, and Trailer Evaluating Man, when there's a pause in between the other the two trailers,
you know how
he
the
gives
screen
a
will go dark
opinion.
For just a couple of seconds.
We do
there.
That at press screenings. We do that. I sit with a couple of other critics. That's what we do between screens.
But do you yell curse words?
When do I not yell curse words, Corbin?
So
it's hard enough not to yell them here.
So Trailer Evaluating Man
is not unique,
curse, though.
Oh,
so Trailer Evaluating Man is not unique, huh?
I guess not.
I'd like to go to a movie with Trailer Evaluating Man and just watch trailers with him and then leave. In fact, we
no,
just...
Trailer Evaluating Man, he only goes with his wife.
Oh.
And mine doesn't really appreciate that too much. She doesn't appreciate the skill of Trailer Evaluating Man
too
much.
Now, what are some of the comments from Trailer Evaluating Man?
Who's going to go see that S?
God, Michael!
That's going to suck.
Yep.
Yeah, he just forecasts how he thinks the movie will be.
Now, but it's never positive.
What?
It's never positive.
Sometimes it is.
No, it's not.
No,
no. What do you say when it's positive? Or what does he say when it's positive?
I saw one trailer the other day, and a Trailer Evaluating Man had been there. He would have given it a very positive remark.
Like what? Promising or maybe?
No, that looks damn good.
What trailer was it for?
Silver City.
Hmm.
Well. Oh, what about me?
But it's loud, like real loud.
And I love embarrassing.
I love that guy.
Yeah, remember when we went to see The Quiet American in Arizona?
And you had the loud a-hole in the back of the theater?
That's when Trailer Evaluating Man was, boy, he was at his best then. Because there were about 9 trailers.
I just brought him up so I could deflect any conversation from Fahrenheit 9/11, by the way.
But did you like it, Robert?
Oh, I think it's a really engaging piece of filmmaking. I mean, I understand that there are a lot of problems with it, that it doesn't connect the dots. It sort of implies certain things that fact has borne out, that rumor has played out. I think he's a great filmmaker. This is his best film, And I love Bowling for Columbine. I love Roger and Me. I think this is his best film because he's in it the least of any of his other films. He tends to distract from the point he's making. The problem is, I think at the end of the day, in this film, he makes too many points and doesn't sort of allow room for discussion.
Well, he makes too many. I thought tried to make too many points and really didn't bear many of them out that well, or at least not well enough.
Well, I mean, is this whole point, for instance, in the discussion about the Bush family connection to Carlyle and the Bin Laden family to Carlyle, is his whole implication there that, I mean, what's his point? That the Bushes funded September 11th, that they allowed it to happen, that they're chummy with the Bin Ladens? And, I mean, no. That part of the family has, A, denounced their relationship with Osama. That part of the family has no relationship to terrorism, but it's a creepy image to see the senior Bush over and over and over again glad-handing a bunch of Saudis when clearly the Saudis, or there were Saudis, a majority of the hijackers were involved, were Saudi.
So that's just a powerful image that he wanted to project.
Yeah, and it's in there a lot.
And plus, when you're dealing with, they said the you know, 75-80% of the people who went to the movie over the weekend were between 25 and 34, 24 and 35 or something.
I was astounded at all the young people.
Well, why? Well, who did you think was going to go? A bunch of conservative right-wing people aren't going to go see that.
No, I thought it would be an older crowd, though. Because, I mean, normally young people don't go to documentaries.
Well, that's the whole... Boy, I disagree.
But this kind of supersedes documentaries, I think.
Well, this supersedes documentary. This transcends race, religion, age.
And this thing got a lot of pre-release hype, too. I mean, everybody knew about this. It was very controversial before it was ever even out.
Well, he did a good job of hyping it. It won, obviously, the Palme d'Or at Cannes. It got a lot of discussion with the MPAA, giving it an R rating, which it doesn't deserve. I mean, the MPAA went out of its way to make sure that 17 and unders couldn't see this film. And it also went out of the way, Michael.
Why
Moore,
do you think they did that, Robert?
Because it galvanizes a new generation of voters, of potential voters who are going to look at this film and or who are easily swayed and go, well, I'm not going to vote for that guy. Because, look, it doesn't make Bush look very good.
Well, 17-year-olds can't vote anyway.
That's the point.
He's talking about in the future.
They can the next year.
It galvanizes
You know what? There's not too terribly many 18, 19-year-olds that are super right-wing anyway.
No. What do you mean?
I would say the majority of your liberals, I mean, I think most people, it's like Churchill said, you know, if you're 20 and you're not...
You're quoting Churchill after that last segment. Go ahead. I just hit a speed bump in my head.
If you're 20 and you're not a liberal, then you have no heart. And if you're 40 and you're still a liberal, then you have no mind. I'm totally butchering it, but it's something along those lines.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, am I wrong?
No, but look, I mean, you know, young Republicans are...
There's a ton of them.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. I just don't hang out with them. Yeah, I want nothing to do with them.
I don't know. I bet there are more young liberals than Republicans.
I would say so. I look, at fish concerts, Corby, it's mostly young liberals.
Don't go to fish.
You do go to fish concerts.
Widespread.
Oh, whatever. Big difference.
Have you liked fish?
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty powerful film, though. It's pretty powerful, but, you know, I mean, I don't agree with hardly anything that Michael Moore believes in. But, you know, I thought it was a good film.
Look, and I think it's a
power... You know, there's no way that it swayed me to vote one way or the other.
Well, no, and his whole thing is, you know, he keeps talking about how he wants this film to instigate a regime change. That's his big phrase.
I tell you what, if I'm the Republicans, I worry about that. I can see, you know, just looking at the faces of some people in there, I can see where this can sway votes.
Well, look, the most emotional segment, the most effective segment of the film is the woman Lila from Flint, Michigan, who is...
Well, she changed her tune, didn't she?
She's clearly very pro-military, pro-president, pro-Republican when you first see her. And as you get to know her and you get to feel her and understand her pain a little bit better and understand her loss in Iraq, you sort of know that this story is unfolding by the hundreds across the country.
Right.
And it's going to have this sort of widespread effect. One person who's lost someone is going to know a bunch of people who know her, and it's going to have this tremendous effect. And she really does anchor the film. It's interesting. There's another anti-Bush film that's out there that will not be seen by nearly as many people called Bush's Brain, which is about Karl Rove. It's a really ineffective film. It's based on a book co-written by Wayne Slater of the Morning News. The book is great. The problem is the film isn't very good, but it ends with a very similar segment. That segment of the film was mocked when it was shown at South by Southwest by critics and wrong war for the wrong reasons means to people who sign up for the military for all the right reasons.
Well, clearly, Michael Moore is a guy with an agenda. I guess if you go see this movie, you know that going in. And, you know, that was the main thing I took away from this. His agenda just overrode everything else in this thing.
Did you like it, though?
His agenda was to make Bush look like an idiot.
It's agitprop. That's the nature of agitprop.
Yes, yes. And I guess on that front, he was successful. There are those who might tell you that he doesn't need a lot of help on that front, that Bush can do that on his own, but the out-of-context, piecemeal way that he went about it was really kind of a cheap shot.
Well, I think it's pretty easily done, too. It's kind of like us, you know, pulling audio from the show
of Reiner
stumbling around and not making any sense, you know, for 2 or 3 seconds.
Never do that.
Or Grego, you know.
Robot Grego.
Sure. Yeah, that's we can make any one of us look like the biggest moron in the world because there's so much tape on us.
Well, hang on,
what, Mike?
You think the right-wing conservatives couldn't pull up and make the same film about Clinton?
Oh, my God.
They could do the same thing. What are we doing?
I don't know if he has as many misspeaks as Bush does or has, but...
Well, if you go through enough tape and stuff that's rolling that never made the air, you can find misspeak on any public person.
In editing? I mean, you know, whoever edited that film, it was well done. But
absolutely, you bitch.
But it was simple to do, you know? I mean, it was so easy to put that together, and it was so cheap. You know, the cheap little jokes and the cheap music that they played.
But it's, look... You watch Letterman?
It's very cheeky and campy.
Yes, I know.
You watch the beginning. The Letterman for the last few months has been doing that George W. Bush joke that's not really a joke, or the George W. Bush misstatement of the day. He's been doing it in a really funny way. And it's out there. There's CDs of Bushisms. There's books about George.
Well, this was mean-spirited, but, hey, that's what he is. I mean, he is against the president. But what Michael Moore should be thankful for is he lives in a country where you can put out a film like that and not worry about having your head chopped off. Because there's not a lot of countries that'll put up with you putting a film out like that against the head of state.
And people have been using satire to make fun of presidents for generations.
Sure.
So this isn't anything new.
And
if you can't look at it objectively and just be like, you know what, it's funny. It's not going to change the way I think about Bush or his policy, the fact that they cleverly edited some stammers and misspeak together.
I found it to be entertaining, but he was intending for it to be more than that.
Right.
He's intending for it to get people to vote
together.
Right. You know what?
I was astounded.
And that is his agenda.
And it's going to work.
It astounded me on how many laugh out loud moments there were where you thought you were watching a Cheech and Chong movie. Where everybody just cracked up in the whole studio. I mean, in the whole theater.
Did you guys have, I don't know if you just saw screenings of it, but did you have a lot of cheering in there at certain points?
I had no cheering at all.
Yeah, I had a lot of that. I had a lot of clapping. I had people stand up at the end and applaud.
I had that at the end.
I had a smattering of applause at the end, but no stand-up or any outbursts really of any kind during the film.
But
just
other than laughter. By yourself.
No, I just kind of sat there and watched it.
And slept.
Yeah, and just got up and left after it was over, being the only one in the theater. All right, we'll have more on this with Robert Wolanski of the Dallas Observer next here on The Ticket.
We've mined Georgie, and we're giving away the diamonds at Girls Night Out. This Thursday from 5 to 8, brought to you by Red Stripe, Diamonds by Drake, and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're listening to The Hard Line. This is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. We're out in South Arlington today at Singular Wireless out here at South Cooper and Green Oaks, where they're throwing down great deals on stuff for your phone. If you need to accessorize it in any way, you can certainly get that done. Maybe you're into getting out of the plan that you're in now and into a different one. Maybe you want to switch service. You can get that done out here at Singular Wireless. And we had some food units from Papa John's. Do we have any more of that? Is the food gone over there?
Looks like
there's
a little bit left. Few.
Okay, still got a little bit. Maybe a few wings or some such. So come on out here and get that stuff while it's still here. We are joined by Robert Wolanski of the Dallas Observer, and we're talking about the movie that is the national rage right now, Fahrenheit 9/11.
It's the national rage until Spider-Man 2 opens anyway.
Right. Which will be when? This weekend?
Wednesday.
Yeah. Nice.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's great.
It is?
It is not terrible.
Great.
Really?
It's really great.
Did you like the first one?
It was okay. This one's amazing.
Wow.
Well,
amazing.
He is the amazing Spider-Man.
Which was going to be the title of it. I wish it had been. It's a really good movie, man.
Amazing.
Okay, have you guys heard what Michael Moore said a few weeks ago about libel?
Well, I guess not.
After he got back from... From Cannes. He says, we want the word out. Any attempts to libel me will be met by force. The most important thing we have is the truth on our side. If they persist in telling lies, then I'll take them to court.
Good luck with all that.
Well, who's he directing that to?
Well,
him?
Fox?
Yeah, Fox. I don't know.
Christopher Hitchens.
There's already been a lot of stuff that's been disproven in this film. Like, the first 15 minutes we're bitching about the fact that Bin Laden's family were flown out of the States when, you know, there were no airplanes allowed to fly anywhere except for those select few that had his relatives on board. And he was bitching that, well, you know, Michael Moore's bitching, why do we fly them out without questioning them first? Well, it came out in the 9/11 report that they were questioned. And that's a lot of time.
So that's a factual error.
Yeah.
And he's being allowed to skate on this?
Well, the film is probably finished before this information was discovered, correct?
Right.
Well, and then...
Might there not have been a disclaimer at the end of it?
They questioned them in one day?
Two days. I think the 13th is when they actually flew out.
They had 2 days. Yeah, they... I mean,
so they questioned them for 2 days?
I think they actually didn't question them for barely a day. I mean, there really wasn't a good deal of...
Are you a relative? Yes.
How long can you question somebody without charging them with something? How long can you hold somebody for questions?
I think 24 hours.
Ask those people at Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
Good point.
And so then that was on June the 9th when he made that libel statement. Then on June the 20th, he said this because he realized that some of his theories were being shot down. He says, the movie is an op-ed piece. It's my opinion about the last 4 years of the Bush administration. And that's what I call it. I'm not trying to pretend that this is some sort of, you know, fair and balanced work of journalism.
Shot at Fox.
I think the New York Times review, Tony Scott's review, put it best when he referred to it as an editorial cartoon. That's all it is. It's an exaggeration to make a point. Whether or not you agree with that point is clearly up to you. My parents, for instance, refused to see this movie. It's not going to change their mind. They don't want to engage in that discussion because, as far as they're concerned, the discussion is over, which is fine. I'll have the discussion with them over and over again and ruin every dinner I go to with my parents. But, you know, that's my decision to make.
But here's the deal. Young, impressionable people, you know, from the age of 25 to 34.
Hey, I was emotionally swayed by it right after. You remember me calling you last night, and I was blown away. And after sleeping on it and thinking about it and reading and watching television, watching the news, you kind of... calm down a little bit and are able to take it for what it's worth.
What did you say when you called Corby?
No, I just was really affected by it. I thought it was a great, amazing piece of film. And
yeah, and it's one man's opinion. It's one man's
theory. It is. It's a great
movie. But what it did is it didn't change me or change the way I was going to vote, but it did make me more interested and want to be more a part of this process and be more informed.
See, that's ultimately, I think, what the movie will do best. And I think it's all you can ask out of that movie, or you can ask out of any book written about the subject, is if people will read it, whether or not they're for or against Bush, or whether or not they're for or against Kerry, or whether they're left or right, is just to simply read the book or watch the movie and engage in the discussion.
But
the only thing,
right. The only thing
exactly.
I said,
that's all you can ask out of anybody. And a good filmmaker, a good writer, engages begins a discussion, but should by no means end the discussion. And Michael Moore's biggest problem is that he keeps trying to end the discussion.
Right.
He's threatening to sue people. He's threatening... they will be met with force.
Right.
I mean, he's just as bad as the people he's going after.
Now, he thinks that's his job.
That's the biggest problem with Michael Moore. He is his own worst enemy. He doesn't need Christopher Hitchens. He doesn't need anybody at Fox to go after him because Michael Moore ultimately shoots himself in his big
foot. All right, now,
foot.
Let's discuss Christopher Hitchens. This is the second time you've referenced him. Obviously, he's a hot button for you.
No, he wrote a really interesting, thoughtful dissection of the film in Slate, which... someone sent to my house anonymously for whatever reason they felt the need to do that.
after I had actually read it on Slate that very day. So thanks for sending it, whoever sent it, but I had already gotten to it.
I was worried I didn't put enough postage on there. I'm glad you got that.
Well, it's weird. Did you write it in blood?
The only thing that I really took out of this
is that blood?
It just kind of reinforced something that I already believed anyway, and that was the chummy relationship between the United States, not pointing the finger at any one person, and Saudi Arabia. Because I don't think that's good. I don't think that's good that we're all chummy with those people. Because they are not our friends.
It was shocking.
And you know what? And I'm not pointing that. You know, Bush is just as guilty as Clinton, who's just as guilty as Nixon, who's just as guilty as Carter.
Who's just as guilty as Bush's father.
Exactly. You know, I just don't like that chummy relationship between those two-faced bastards over there in Saudi Arabia. And that's what they are.
Hey, that's
they're trying to play both sides against each other. They want all these riches. They want to own 7% of this country, but yet they don't like our way of living, and they try to change it. And they do that through education in their own country. And they promote terrorism. I don't care what anybody says. They do that over there.
The great thing about politics is that our enemies always become our friends, and our friends eventually become our enemies.
Well, just look at the Taliban.
Yeah, I mean, that's all this film
shows. Look at Ho Chi Minh. And Ho Chi Minh was educated by the United States. He was armed by the United States.
There was some funny stuff in that movie as well. Like Corby referred to the Taliban visit, the leader of the Taliban's visit to what it was, Houston?
Houston.
It was very funny. And some outraged, I don't know who that woman was.
You don't let your women wear certain clothing in public.
Burkas.
Or make your women wear burkas.
She's freaking out. She was way ahead of the curve on the Taliban and the way that they persecuted their women over there. And so she's trying to make a stand and call this guy to the carpet. And this guy is just sitting back all calm, and he's in his beard and his turban just staring at her, you know. And he goes, as she's yelling at him, he goes, "I'd hate to be your husband," or something like that. It was really funny.
And that made you laugh, huh?
Oh, yeah. I laughed at that. I did. I laughed at that.
Gosh, you know, I always thought that was a drop, but it's not.
Oh, no. On cue, man.
Yeah, it's really good.
But I think that the, you know, young, impressionable, apathetic skateboard man out there who has, you know, no desire to get involved in any way, which essentially is Danny and myself.
Well, he will be swayed by this movie and be like, yeah, man, F. Bush.
He won't go see it, though.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah, he will.
Absolutely.
He will.
No.
You know, he might, Ron, because it's becoming cool to go see this movie.
There were tons of kids in that movie last night. Tons of kids under 17.
Hey, this is going to do some damage to the Republican Party. There is no question, especially I bet you it ends up making close to $100 million. And that's a lot of people.
That's a ton of people.
It might be like the Howard Stern movie. Everybody saw it that wanted to see it the first weekend. The next week it does $3 million.
Well, Grego, I mean, last night on a Monday night, it was sold out.
Every show was sold out.
Like I'm saying, about a week later, you know, everybody that sees it, everybody's seen it that wants to see it. I mean, I don't know. I'm not just throwing that out there. But I think it's going to have to get on a horse to get $100 million.
Well, I mean, it's already won the awards. You know, we're talking about it here.
Can I interject something here?
Go ahead, Greg.
I found a diary underneath the tree.
That's weird.
Pardon the interruption.
Is that necessary?
I mean, we're giving it 30 minutes of love, and we all agree. I like the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a really well-done movie.
I thought it was well-done. Yeah, I mean, it was a heck of a film, but, God, the agenda just beat you over the head.
Well, sure, it didn't sway me one way or another.
Speaking of agendas,
I'm not voting for John Kerry, and I'm not voting for Bush. I don't trust neither one of them.
Did you download that ad from George Bush's official website?
Snake, you have it, don't you?
Yes.
This is the other side. I mean, this is to the level of the discussion has become at this point. This is from George W. Bush's official this is from georgewbush.com, his official reelection campaign. This is an ad that's running on their website. I don't know if it's eventually going to show up on TV or not, but it's part of its audio comes from an ad that was created as part of a contest for MoveOn.org's website. They're a devout lefty website that is just as bad as the devout rights. They said, we're going to have this contest where we can play, we're going to do anti-Bush advertisements. And somebody submitted an ad that compared Bush to Hitler. Well, MoveOn.org thought that was even too outrageous. They repudiated the ad, took it off their website, and dismissed it altogether. Well, the Bush campaign picked up on this little piece of web audio video that showed up on the web and put it into this
advertisement that shows, it's called the Coalition of the Wild-Eyed. It's an anti-Kerry ad that uses that audio and video, and it's just as bad as anything Michael Moore might do, and this is where the discussion's gone now.
How dare they drag the good name of the United States of America through the mud of Saddam Hussein's torture prison? I want my country back.
Howard Dean.
We live in a time where we have a man sending us to war for fictitious reasons.
This president is a miserable failure.
I'm the enemy of evil and false night.
Hitler.
No, he paid a stone. Don't.
He betrayed this country. He played on our fears. Today, George Bush will lay off your camel, tax your shovel, kick your ass, and tell you there is no promised land.
Here it says, this is not a time for rage and pessimism, but it's a time for optimism, steady leadership, and George W. Bush.
Shows his big smiling face.
Mm-hmm.
Just random, man.
What is the point of that ad except to compare basically raving liberals with Hitler? And, you know, it's interesting because wasn't it Ashcroft, or was it, in fact, who was it that compared Michael Moore to Goebbels? One of the Bush officials compared...
Here recently?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Was it Clark?
He's a propagandist. No, no, no.
Kellogg's kid.
No, Greg.
Was it Luke Walton?
I think it was Luke Walton, actually.
It was not.
Well, no, it was Rumsfeld, I'm sorry. Rumsfeld compared Michael Moore to Goebbels, and Christopher Hitchens compared him to Leni Riefenstahl, who was Hitler's propagandist.
I think one thing Michael Moore should do, if he thinks this film is so important that every American should see this movie...
Let everybody in for free.
He's made his money back, and as much as he attacks big corporation and oil and the way it's linked to the presidency and the Bush family, you know what, dude? You've made your money back. Let everybody see it for free. I know that's impossible to do with having, what, three distributors involved?
In yes.
You got IFC,
right.
You've got
Lionsgate,
and the other ones. So I know that's near impossible, but somehow there's got to be a way that he could use his influence to let this movie be seen for free.
If it's so bad to make money and be corporate, then take all the money that he's going to make for it and give it to the families of 9/11 or the families of people that lost their lives in Iraq. I mean, put your money where your mouth is.
I believe he does own a $4 million home, too.
You know, otherwise...
He's a best-selling author.
He's one of them.
Yeah, he's rich as hell.
You know, he's one of them, and he's... He's one of the ones that he's attacking.
I thought that was really weak, too. My least favorite part of the film, although it was kind of funny, was him going around to all the congressmen asking if they'll... Or was it the senators? I can't even remember.
It was representatives.
Representatives.
Okay, going around to them and asking if they'll have their kids sign up to go fight in Iraq.
I thought that was good. I didn't think that was a cheap shot at all.
I thought it was so
ridiculous.
Michael Moore-esque. I mean, that was just so default Michael Moore.
The worst part of I think the worst part is when he's going around in the ice cream truck reading the Patriot.
Oh, yeah.
That too.
I mean, it's just a bad stunt.
But you know what? It got tons of laughs.
But you know what? He's right. I mean, the people that go over and fight wars are the poor. It's always been that way. And no senator or no, you know, House member, they're not going to let their kids out and do that. I mean, look at the measures that George Bush did when he was the director of the CIA to keep George out of it.
Well, that's another problem with the film, by the way. Why didn't they go find that guy whose name has been exiled from Bush's records? I mean, it draws these comparisons and it asks you to make these leaps that the film doesn't make for you.
It's like watching JFK at times.
It's very much like, that's a great comparison. It's a lot like JFK. It's a conspiracy theorist editorial cartoon.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Robert, for coming up here and discussing this with us today.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks. And I look forward to the next Ticket Ticker, by the way.
Well, that's good. You should. Because you know what? We know that everybody else does, too. This has been all well and good, but we know what everybody's really waiting for. And it's right around the corner, as is the Ranch Report here on the Ticket.